You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Te Anau Tuiono is Ngai Takoto Ngāpuhi and Aituan from the Cook Islands. He is a well-known activist and organiser and is now turning his hand to parliamentary politics. Currently sitting at number 17 on the initial list ranking for the Green Party, Tuiono is part of a new group of Green candidates that are new to this side of the game. With a background of international environmental advocacy for the UN, I spoke with him to find out what he would bring to the table.
Kia ora everybody, my name is Te Anau Tuiono. On my mother's side, I'm from Ngāi Takoto Ngāpuhi, up in the Taitokerau. And from my father's side, I'm from the island of Aotearoa in the Cook Islands. All my formative years, raised in South Auckland, so typical working class background. I've been involved in activism my entire adult life. I've got a background in law, which I got before the internet, in the 90s at Auckland University. I've worked in activism locally, nationally, and also internationally. I was based at the UN for a bit of time in Paris. Worked across the broad range of stuff, with a focus on Indigenous peoples' rights. Working here in Aotearoa around the Pacific, and also globally. I've had a lot of interesting stories in a lot of interesting places.
Why have you turned to politics in terms of parliamentary politics?
I see it as a kind of extension of the stuff that I'm already doing. When I was at university as a younger person, and this is before the internet, I first learned about climate change and global warming and deforestation and stuff like that as a 19-year-old when I was doing environmental science, and our lecturer was Jeanette Fitzsimmons. So for me, an awareness of what those issues were started there. And when I was at law school, I did international environmental law, and I was hanging out with a friend of mine who's an Aboriginal brother from Australia, and that's when I started to sort of recognise the connections between what has happened here in terms of colonisation and impact on Māori, the context of what that was in the Pacific, and how those things connected to what I now know as the Indigenous Peoples Movement.
We'll come back to that, but can I ask you why you chose the Green Party?
For me, it's kind of, I work at the intersection of a whole lot of movements, so the Indigenous Peoples Movement is its own specific particular dynamic, if I can use that word. The Green Movement is its own separate thing. Pacifica people, we've got our own kind of issues that are specific to us, but there are connections that go right across those things. So I see myself as working at that intersection, at those various intersections actually, and the Green Party is the best fit for me to continue that work.
Back to the international environmental law, you did some advocacy work. Can you tell us more about that?
As I was saying earlier, Indigenous rights stuff goes right across. So it is human rights, it is environmental issues, it's workers' issues, and so I have been active within the environmental space where that intersection with Indigenous people's rights and environmental issues are. So I was at the Paris Climate Summit, where the Paris Climate Treaty was being organised and brokered by various political figures of the time. And I was just as recently in Marrakesh at the Conference of Parties. For those of you who don't know treaties, there's a whole lot of treaties that came out of a Rio summit in the 90s. One of them was on climate change, one of them was on biological diversity, there's another one on desert stuff. So I've worked in the space for the Convention on Biological Diversity, and also in the climate change space as well. Spent some time in Paris where I was working in the small island section and Indigenous knowledge section. So, yeah, kind of a broad range of different roles and things that I've done in the international space.
That's quite specific knowledge and experience that you'll bring to Parliament.
Yeah, I'm hoping to. That's the sort of thing that I'm offering to the Greens and to Aotearoa in particular.
There's quite a range of new candidates in the Green Party this election, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. There is. I'm enjoying really hanging out with all the cool folks. It's been great hanging out and organising stuff.
Do you think it's a disadvantage or an advantage that there are a number of people who don't have a history in sort of parliamentary politics?
In terms of green politics, it's a disadvantage, I would say. I'm very well known in Indigenous peoples movements. I'm well known in the education sector for the stuff that I've done around in the Pacific education circles. I've been around since, I don't know, my entire adult life in the Te Norongo Te Ratanga movement. So very well known in those spaces, but only known in terms of green politics stuff is where all those other things that I work on intersect with those, with the green movement. And there's, to be honest, there are a lot of intersections, but I haven't specifically just worked in that one movement or space.
Which electorate are you running in?
I'm a South Auckland boy, so I'm hoping to, you know, put my hand up for South Auckland somewhere if they'll have me, hopefully. You know, that's where a lot of Pacifica communities live, a lot of Māori communities live. I think that's where I would be most valuable for the Greens during this election.
You mentioned working with an Aboriginal brother. Where did you meet him?
I met Jason Daylight Desantolo at law school. We were in the same international environmental law paper. I've had a long time collaboration with him and the communities that he's from and the activists that he's connected with, along with the research and documentary stuff that he's done over 20 years, actually. We did a presentation at an Indigenous research conference earlier this year, and was based on the relationship between Māori and Aboriginal collaborations that we've done over the last 20 years. So things as diverse as we've organised gigs and capacity building workshops. There's an album in there somewhere. A lot of activist support stuff, community support stuff, because the community that he's from in Barolua, they've got an extraction mine there, Glencore, which is a zinc mine, which is poisoning the MacArthur River. So looking at how we could look at supporting, as Indigenous peoples, each other in our struggle against extractive communities.
Now that's quite important, because there's that divide between New Zealand and Australia, that sort of competitive vibe. What do you think, how can Māori people and Aboriginal people bridge that?
I think it's important to see our struggles within each other. There are differences, of course, which I've actually come to appreciate. And I'm talking things like, you know, even the concepts of space and time can be quite different. I remember Jason's telling me, hey, look, man, I'll take you out to my community. It's quite far. It's quite remote. And, you know, I'm on my father's side. I'm from a small Pacific island nation. We're the largest island. It takes 35 minutes to go right around. But he wasn't kidding. We drove on this road. It was orange, and there was dust, and it went for hours and hours and hours, and there was nothing but animals, man, just running across the road and stuff like that. And so when they say go up the road, it's actually quite, well, for me, it was actually quite far. And we arrived at one spot where one of his elders was waiting, and he says, oh, I've been waiting for you to show up. And how long have you been waiting? He's like, 2 weeks. He goes, we didn't know we were going to come here until a week ago. He goes, yeah, well, I knew you were going to show up. He goes, anyway, I want you to give me a ride up the road. A ride up the road was like 5 hours.
Has he been supportive in your bid for Parliament?
Jason? Oh, he better be, mate. He better be supportive. he's an old friend, so yeah.
And what has the response been from your community and your family?
My community, they've been really enthusiastic and very supportive of me. They know I've been involved in activist stuff for years. So I think they're happy that I'm being involved in legitimate politics these days. So, I find my whānau being, you know, quite excited about what this next step in my political journey.
Now, that comment in terms of legitimate politics, there is a critique out there that Parliament isn't necessarily an answer, and there is a lot of attitude against voting at all. What do you say about that?
I see democracy as this kind of wider thing. So a lot of people say, oh, it's all about Parliament, or other people say it's all about mobilising on the streets, or it's all about the UN or whatever, you know. But I sort of see it as a broad range of things. So people pushing for systemic change, well, that won't happen in Parliament. That always happens on the outside. So I'm very clear about that. But I think everything can play a role, and it's just a matter of ensuring that those roles are being enacted, if you like. So for example, I know a lot of diplomats just because of a lot of work that I've done in the UN and also for different governments and stuff. So diplomacy has its own particular role in trying to move things in a progressive political direction, along with being able to get some wins at the UN as well. But if those are the only things that you're doing, and they're not effective, then you need to actually look in the toolbox for other tools. I would say, like for me, that because democracy should be seen as this wider thing, it works best when all those things are working together. So a bit of the UN, a bit of diplomacy, hopefully getting some people that are singing from the same song sheet in Parliament. But more importantly, and most importantly, is ensuring that all of these things are connected to grassroots communities and action that is happening at the community level. Without that pressure on the outside, then often what's happening in these other spaces just falls flat. I think what's really important for people that are working in all these different roles, whether it's as an activist or a diplomat or at the UN or in the NGO or whatever, is that it's important that we sort of break out of our own social media echo chambers, you know, that we try to go to where people are at. I've been in a lot of different groups, and sometimes it's like the same 10 people that show up, or the same 20, 30, 40 people. And so in order to actually get change, you have to go to where the people are at. And sometimes they're at the church, or sometimes they're watching the rugby, or they're somewhere completely different. So if we are serious about political change and engagement of communities and stuff like that, step out of the comfort zone and go talk to them. That's my motto.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.